Okay, that was time. Thank you. AC and then Bertolt?
Yeah. I'm AC Bird from Washington, D.C. From Washington, D.C., WPFW. I think I heard our program director mention news broadcasts. Did you mention that? Did you mention roundups? I thought I heard you say roundups. If you did, I'd just like to support that because I think it is very important when you look at the national news roundups that comes on all the basic commercial stations. NPR and all have a weekly program, and even the Sunday morning talk shows, and they have tens of millions of Americans who look at these shows and get their news from that source. And we, as a network, don't have that. So I think that I want to ask you all, have you really thought about doing a national news wrap-up on a weekly basis to, drawing from the various stations and drawing from other people maybe outside of the station with special invited guests and so forth as a priority effort that would enlighten the public as to what Pacifica stands for and how they interpret the news, how we, rather, interpret the news. Does anybody want to raise a question about that?
I'd like to get Bertolt's comment, and then we'll ask for a response to that. And LeBarn was also saying that there was a question that was unanswered as yet. So Bertolt, and then...
Hi, my name is Bertolt. From New York.
Not that close.
Hi, my name is Bertolt. I'm from New York, WBAI. Actually, I have a little different point of views on this. I'd like to ask all of you programmers here who've gathered to figure out how this is going to work out. How is the issue of local resistance to national programming working out? We know it's a problem, and we know that... by communicating among each other, you may resolve that a little more among yourselves, but how do you communicate that to your programmers is another issue. I'd like to hear how you're addressing that. The second part I think the idea of talking about local news and national news, I don't see the problem. Local news, you have morning shows, you have local news. I don't understand why this should, be in any contradiction to Free Speech Radio News or National News. These are two different things. At BAI, remember, they used to be back-to-back. You could have Democracy Now!, National News, and then Local News. The Local News addresses the local issues and maybe national issues that address the local community, and the National News addresses national issues and national and international issues. So I do not understand where is the contradiction in having national news throughout the network, and then having local news. That's basically, I'd like you to really address that. And then also, as far as the local news, they're also beyond the news, like really deep down looking at issues nationally, locally that can be done at the local level, investigative reporting. I see all this as being part of, the whole network and the local station. I don't understand why is there so many? There are so many issues of confrontation.
Armando, do you want to respond to that? And then AC's point about the news roundup. And LeVon, what was the question that you were saying hadn't been answered?
That Pacifica's program, Democracy Now!, what PRA, the role that they play in the distribution of the program. Yes. There was a point earlier today about how
they're responsible for archiving it.
Yes, archiving. Yes. Thank you.
No, the Pacific Radio Archives is not responsible for archiving Democracy Now! Democracy Now! Employs their own archivist, David Rice. So they have their own gig going on. The Pacific Radio Archives still holds the original master reel-to-reel tape Democracy Now! Collection, when they went into digital and when we stopped, when the contract ended, or when the contract started, excuse me, we kept doing reel-to-reel master archiving. We now just do it in digital. So we collect CDs and keep them as Pacifica's broadcast legacy, but it's not our responsibility.
And what date did this start?
I'd have to look back. I think that we, you know, when the contract was done, we still continued to collect on master reel-to-reel tape, and I think at some point when I don't know. I had to look.
Okay.
Brian, is the contract language then that we just have the right to do it, to archive it?
Right.
It doesn't
right.
require us to do it.
Non-exclusive rights to archive and non-exclusive rights to distribute and make copies available to public.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Mondo, on the news question?
Yeah. Let me first start off that our discussions were by no means adversarial, much less confrontational, nor do I actually think that it's been presented in that matter. On the contrary, as we discuss national programming, we entertain what constitutes a national presence, having learned from what we have already. And inevitably, there is this discussion about news, and as such, our point of departure was to assess, well, what do we have, where were we, where are we at now, and where do we want to go? And that is the intent of the discussion. That's not to say that we like to approach FSRN or anybody for that matter with some sort of confrontational, you know, point of departure to say that ours or yours. No, on the contrary. Fact of the matter is we are a news network that at one point prior to FSRN had a national news presence, and that's not at the exclusion or with intent to dismiss our local products. On the contrary, we feel it's complementary, rather not, it wasn't a divisive approach at any point in time. And in fact, you know, as AC brought up, you know, we can see that there is this desire to have these additional discussions that are really, they spring out of this much larger and broader discussion. And before we engage each other on a case-by-case basis relevant to news, I think we owe it to ourselves to consolidate these discussions, have that one important issue be addressed, and what that issue is, are we going to at one point bring back what was Pacifica News Service? Is that something that we are interested in? Is that something that, you know, and not in its original sense, Lydia, I see your facial expression, but keep in mind, you know, we need to look towards the future, and that future has, that discussion has begun now, I think. And that is where we're coming from. And if anything, we feel it's we'd like to see that, and we feel complementary in our effort.
And could you respond to AC's question about a news roundup as a possibility? Somebody mentioned the fact that headlines were the most requested things in your carriage report.
As per the carriage report,
and I
correct.
Think he's asking about something slightly different than headlines, which is like a weekly news roundup.
But, you know, again, I mean, at the risk of speaking for the group or speaking on a topic that we really haven't expanded on, it's an issue that was presented. It's an issue that was discussed, albeit briefly, in the context of a much broader discussion, but there isn't any firm commitment, that is to say, we now have this project laid out as of yet, in part because we know that we do have to go back to our constituents, filter this out further, and it's going to, I'd like to think, develop into a project that could potentially, if at all, include some sort of multidisciplinary approach to how we disseminate news, information, and analysis.
Thanks. Sarf.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. You know, I was listening to it, and whenever we talked about local versus national, I think it's not like that. It's local and national, as well as international. The question arises, what is it that we are talking about here? It's whether it's the arts, culture, literature, philosophy discussions, or is it public affairs, or is it the current news, and how often and how urgently we cover all those elements. Inevitably, given the circumstances where we live and the times we live and the administration we have and the, in the eyes of some, a crumbling empire leaving this planet in the wake, a disaster, we always tend towards covering, of course, the most urgent issues that are at hand. But I think we have to take along also those people who are perhaps in the forefront of before these events even happen and they are like a canary in a mine, and these are the artists and writers who are sensitive people who can alert the whole society and the culture about what's ahead, lies ahead. So my question, I'm going to boil it down to very, very concrete terms. What I'm asking is, on each one of these stations, we have broadcasting studios. And what I want to know is how often that broadcast studio is being used for live cultural music programs at each station. That's number one. And number two, I'm asking, is that the local programs, national programs, should be coming out of the local programs, and it should be reflective of all the common elements that are all throughout our five signal areas and the rest of the affiliate signal areas. So my question to our program directors is, do they have some notion of bringing at the national level some program that would reflect through music maybe, or discussion at a cultural level, that will become a national program?
Michael, and then we'll ask for a response.
I'm Michael Woodson from Houston, KPFT. And I wanted to just address the issue that I find as pressing with regards to why the board is here, why we've gone through the great expense of traveling people to L.A. And one of those has to do with, you know, making sure that we have programming that will fund, you know, the network. And all the network versus local station arguments aside, I think everybody here feels it's imperative that we stand strong on our own two feet. So I want to advocate, I'd rather listen to the staff who are paid to do this, to hear, you know, what we're doing to multiply successful national programming. My question would be, what do you need from the board to help you do what you're paid to do and to do what we're elected to do, which is to bring forth partly, you know, philosophy and entertainment and so on, but you know, news and current event, which is, I think, what people have an appetite for, that relates to social justice.
You know, Sarah's question actually relates to, and I think Miles to a degree wants to hear from each of the PDs, and something of that I'd like to say also would do that. So rather than get up twice, would it be all right if I pose my questions too, and then we can ask each of the PDs to respond? Is that okay? My question is not what Sarv or Michael's is, but I think both those are asking for a response really from each of the PDs. And since one of the things I'm going to ask would also do that, can I go and then you guys can do it all at once? Okay, you got the clock on?
You're on.
Okay, I got to go fast. First, people who know me know why I asked Brian to repeat those numbers on the BBC audience sizes. He said a half million people listen to it on the radio and 7 million listen on the web. And I often use the term digital distribution because there are going to be ways other than the web to get this stuff, including cell phones. They're becoming more and more prominent. Your audience through digital distribution will always dwarf your terrestrial radio audience, because your terrestrial radio audience has to listen when you broadcast it, and your download audience can listen whenever it's convenient for them. So one of the things I didn't hear so much about was building a presence for digital distribution for Pacifica content. And related to that is the question of local station identity as it relates to your identity as a Pacifica program, because I think there is some competition there, and there always has been. I think locally there's been even some negative sentiment towards national. I want to thank Nathan for the work he's done in his job to get the PDs talking, because I think the most important thing I heard was a sense of all the local station PDs having a sense of trying to create a Pacifica identity, and I think that's going to be the most important thing in creating a Pacifica identity. So I'd kind of like to hear you guys talk about your thoughts about promoting the online audience for the kinds of things you're doing. In that regard, I also want to emphasize that I hope that the music you do on any of the show will be music that we record, that we have the rights to distribute, so that no other copyright holder can restrict us, i.e. that we don't have to track or pay royalties if we get X million people. So I think there should be a library of music that you use as signature Pacifica music, that's music that we got and got those rights to use, because otherwise whoever holds that copyright is going to be able to restrict our distribution possibilities or our revenue model for it. I'll take a couple other quick things. One is, I would like to personally, and once I get off this board, maybe sooner, do fundraising to endow some funds for investigative reporting and for documentary programming, both of which are exceptionally May I have an extra minute to finish? Is it okay? No, I can't do that. I'm sorry, Dave, I can't do that. The reason it's important and relates to the national programming question is it's probably too expensive to do it at the local level. But in some way, unless you can tell whoever you're approaching to endow this stuff that whatever you produce is going to have an audience, it's a very hard pitch to make. In particular, those stations that don't want to air everything that's produced, if they are actively involved in promoting the web audience or the digital distribution audience, which again is going to dwarf your terrestrial audience, then you can always say, hey, here's our audience size. The way Brian came to us and said, 7 million people listen to the cast. We can say, that's how big our audience is, and we, as multiple stations, will get this promoted, even if you can't get it aired. So I hope to be able to fundraise to endow documentary and investigative programming. I wonder what thoughts you've had about distribution beyond Pacifica stations, which is related to that earlier question. And also the segment contributor approach that was pioneered in some of our earlier national programming. I didn't hear anything about, I mean, I heard you mention something about segments or contributors, but I'd be interested about that. And the last point is who we are question as a network is, in your minds, going to get developed. A couple other board members touched on, you know, process. But in your mind, where does that get decided, who we are? And your relationship of your local station as a Pacifica station, how you promote that. Take as much time as you need. 3 minutes? Okay, so I guess those three things were sort of questions of each of the PDs, and they just take the ones that jumped out at you, and whatever you missed, we'll reprise. Lydia has one other point relative to all the PDs. That's all right. That's all right.
May I?
Yeah.
Okay. Lydia Brisson, KPFK. I wanted to ask if you had a discussion about Informativo. As you know, that's been on the books as a national program. It was met with some resistance and then some, I don't know what you call the next level of it. But how do you plan to overcome that when you're approaching programming where there's supposed to be contribution from all the stations, both theoretically as well as tangibly in terms of the revenues? And what is the status of Informativo? Nothing could be more mission-driven in terms of an understanding between nations, and more people who deal with race and diversity include language because of the discriminatory aspect that's pervasive in certain sectors of our population. So are you tackling that? Because that's been kind of this ongoing, supposedly everybody joining in to support it, and I don't see that much of it. So,
good point. Who wants to start?
It's got all the time you want.
Mando.
Okay. While he's coming in, let me just briefly say I have to run because we're having a reception this night. I want to make sure that everybody understands we are having the Archives is hosting a dessert reception tonight at 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock. There'll be transportation at 8:30, and I'm going to leave to make sure things are happening, but Ben Garcia, I will let him know that he's in charge of telling you all how to get there. So hope to see you tonight, and have a good rest of the
evening. Thanks,
Brian. Thank you, Brian.
To be very sincere with you folks, I need you to kind of, in real quick, short, and simplistic terms restate the question.
Okay.
Because there's just a lot.
Got it.
There's just a lot.
Okay, so Sarah's question related to your use of studio for live cultural programming. How often do you do it? Michael, your question was?
What do you need from us?
What do you need from us? My question was, what is the level?
Can I take the easy one first?
Hang on. And then my question was, what is the level? What is the level of thinking at this point about your online presence?
Why don't we go one by one, if I may?
Go ahead.
Let me take the easy one first, for you to trust us. Yes. Plain and simple. What do you need from us? Well, hold on. No, really, for you to trust us, and most importantly, for you to take into consideration what is really a managerial component to some of these discussions. I tried bringing it up earlier. As we talk about what we need, you know, there comes a point that you have to address it by saying, well, what do you need? Well, you need to staff this kind of an operation. I think for us to be able to go to the directions where you want it and we want it, we need to have the personnel to do it, because it's a day-to-day operation. But most importantly, when we're there, if and when we get there, we need, first and foremost, your trust that we as professionals like you can, in fact, embark on these important missions and actually develop them to where they can produce for all of us, most importantly, the future generations, whom we hope one day will take both your positions and ours. As far as how often do we do, I mean, it's a KPFK. You know, I can bring your attention to the last couple of years in which we were able to produce in-house the production that is The Courtyard, which brought in professional actors and other community elements to develop an ongoing series that is produced there for the arts, and in particular, scripted theater, radio theater. We do other variations of that, but, you know, I don't have the specific number as to how often and what we're doing, but I'd be more than happy to have you take me out for a drink and tell you about that. I don't know if I'm answering your question. I just don't have that kind of information off the top of my head.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to get kind of an idea that how often you have live musicians, poets,
live musicians. Hell, we had a 10-piece band this morning.
Writers, all that kind of stuff. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, no, as far as that particular part of the discussion, we have live musicians, geez, regularly, okay. 2-3 times a week, if not in one particular area of the programming and another. But yeah, for us, I would say with a degree of comfort, we have it regularly, multiple and different time slots, both in drive time and non-drive time, and of course that's KPFK. There was one other, right?
The promotion of the Pacifica national identity on your website, and the promotion of our national web offerings. Have you guys talked about how you're going to deal with that? Because implicit in that are some fairly complicated things about your relationships and your different web presences.
I don't know that we had a discussion about that particular issue. I think as we did discuss some of these issues, it was multifaceted, and at times some points were introduced. But no, to say that we had a sit-down discussion
ask your thought as a KPFK program director about your promotion of the identity of Pacifica as relates to your promotion of your identity of KPFK as a station. Just what's your feeling about that?
What is my gosh? I mean, it's you know, should it happen? Of course. How do we do it? I don't know, Dave. I don't know that I can give you what my feeling about that is. I mean, we have some obvious challenges.
It's a vague question.
You know, it's a much bigger question than what we have time for here today.
Okay.
But I think you know, I can speak for myself that with addressing some of these important issues that relate to collaboration, I think will inevitably introduce the discussion for how that collaboration is manifested.
Okay.
You know, but beyond that, and I will defer to my colleagues on what, if anything, you guys need more in terms of Informativo Pacifica. I do want to say that Informativo out of KPFK continues to broadcast. It continues to expand. In fact, just 2 weeks ago, we got a letter from Radio Venezuela Nacional officially recognizing our contributions and their commitments. Their commitments to expanding our product, our Pacifica product, to an international community, and it has been done so in a little just shy of 1 year at a level that perhaps we haven't all fully conceptualized. And I'm sure that just from the board, as much as for myself and my colleagues, and I can speak for Fernando Velasquez, who in part continues to advance this project and advocate for this project, it's not his project, that we will continue to encourage our colleagues to look beyond that and start looking at a multilingual industry that is becoming this country. And that's not to say only Espanol. Thank you.
So does one of the other PDs want to volunteer, or should I ask people?
Please, I'd like to hear the answer to Lydia's question.
Oh, yeah, informativo?
Yeah.
So I'm looking for an answer for everybody.
What do you want from us? What's your in-studio programming, your thoughts about promotion of a Pacifica identity, and informativo?
I'd like to think more on the other two. I'd like to speak to the first two. SARS was looking for a checklist of how we're addressing a live presentation. Mm-hmm. I should say I'm Bobby Hill from WPFW. Our challenge is to coordinate it better. We've done things out of the program department as recently as a couple of months ago, live jazz and poetry session in the studio, but that came out of the program department. The self-generated thing from this fabulous delivery channel that we have of volunteers that happens all the time. Flamenco guitars, singers, hip-hop bands, that kind of thing. And our challenge is knowing it's coming, promoting it, but we also have a challenge of making sure it's in a place in our schedule where people expect those kind of things to happen and look forward to those kind of things to happen. So there's work to do there. We don't currently run Informativa. It's one of the things that we're looking at how to best fit into it. We have some ideas, and we'll have to take those forward, me working with my senior management. But we currently don't run it. It's been a challenge. And it's a challenge we continue to investigate.
But that's the question. What is the challenge?
Finding the proper place for it. Finding the proper place for it. And I've been here since April. I think we've had some ideas on that, and I'll be discussing those. But those kind of things, discussions I need to have first back in D.C. I recognize your concern, and those are challenges that we have to work hard to address. We'll try to address.
Who else? We got Ernesto and
Ernesto Aguilar from KPFT. I had to make notes on all this stuff because there were a lot of questions. So I think, so people have to correct me on this, but I think we're the only other station that runs Informativo daily. We've been running it basically since a number of months. We've been running it since the time it started. I think our biggest challenge has been, and I probably don't necessarily speak for the other program directors, but one of the biggest challenges that we face is, similar to what Bobby said, really finding the audience, but also re-educating the Spanish language audience that we're somewhere that you can come. And in a lot of respects, that's going to take a multi-year process of revisioning our programming to some extent to the community that is either monolingual Spanish or interlingual. That's going to be a difficult challenge. That's going to be painful because we have a lot of programmers that are honestly only monolingual English speakers. And in order to try to appeal to a growing community here, in Houston, it's obvious. I mean, we have a very large Spanish-speaking population. We've got extensive Spanish language media. And the second challenge to that is how we are able to compete and how we're able to draw an audience given the wide variety and the diversity of Spanish language media. There's progressive Spanish language media. There's conservative Spanish language media. It's all over the map in Houston. I expect here in LA, it's the same thing. So it's a bit of a challenge for us as an organization jumping into this daily Spanish language foray, how we build that out. That's been a bit of a challenge. But we do air the program, and I'm proud to say that we do. Other things, we do a lot of cultural programming, a lot of musical performances, poetry, each and every week. The exciting thing, and Nathan touched upon it very, very briefly, and I want to reemphasize it because I think it's an important thing. The programming menu is a very exciting thing because it gives us an opportunity to present a lot of the cultural programming that may not necessarily become the quote-unquote National Pacifica program, but it's something that's being done at a lot of local stations that many affiliates, I think, would be very excited about. So I think we're going to actually be offering up a few of those cultural programs as part of our submissions to that national menu. Other things, digital distribution, promotion of Pacifica's identity. We've got a little bit of promotion on our website about Pacifica. We've also done Spanish language PSAs that we've uploaded to AudioPort for other stations to use, educating listeners about what Pacifica is, that we're listener-sponsored, that we're community-oriented, different kinds of things. And working with a lot of our Latino programmers, the biggest difficulty that they've had in talking about with them about how we promote Informativo and talking about the how we reach out to the community, many of them are struggling with and letting the listeners understand what non-commercial media is, what listener sponsorship of media is. So we're actually been in the process of educating listeners about what Pacific is. Now, someone's certainly going to ask what we're doing in the English language side. We've actually been doing a lot of English language educational spots and different kinds of things since I started about 2.5 years ago. Here's what Pacific is. Here's what we do. Here's what listener sponsorship is. Here's why it's important, et cetera. We run promos about that every single day, frequently. Because we think that it's an important part of what we do, not just programming, but certainly educating people who are new to what we do, who've just turned on the dial for the very first time, to let them know this isn't like your commercial radio station next door to us or even the non-commercial university station next door to us. We're a very, very different creature, and here's why you need to support us, and here's our membership number, et cetera. So here's our website, whatnot. I think I got most everything. How the board can help? I want to echo some of what Armando said as well. We certainly would love to have more of your involvement and support on a lot of levels. Something I think it was Greg or Rob, actually I think it was Robert who said it, at the Houston PNB meeting, which I stuck in my head for a long time, which is that we want you to try to trust us to do the work that you've hired us to do, because as a media organization, it does require rapid response to breaking types of coverage. Don't expect you to agree with us all the time, obviously. Would love to chat with you about a lot of those things. Would hope that you would take the disagreement before you meet it out in the middle of a public session. But we can certainly, we'll talk about all that as time goes on. So trust, I think, is a big part. Resources, obviously. If anybody's got a rich, dying uncle, aunt, that'd be great to help fund this national program that Nathan's got on a piece of paper. On a cocktail napkin, and I think that's. I don't think I hit all your questions, Dave.
There were too many. Don't worry.
Okay, good.
Call it a wash.
Excellent.
Thank you, Sasha.
I need a reminder too of the questions.
Okay, and a partridge. No, what can we do for you? How frequently are your studios used for live performance? What is the status of Informativo? If it's not being aired, why not? And in my case, the two issues of your thoughts about promoting national Pacifica through a web approach, i.e., is it something on your own website? What's the collaboration there? And also, just to your audience, how do you think about promoting the Pacific identity vis-a-vis the KPFA identity?
Okay, I'll try. First off, about the cultural music, live cultural programming. Can't give you any numbers, but it's a regular thing at our station. Live recordings of bands, and also we have a fair amount of arts programming. I think we could actually have more, but it's an important part of our mission. I think we often forget that. In the course of focusing on one way, one dimension of our mission. So that's an important part, and we certainly take that seriously. In terms of, well, let me answer the two questions at once. In terms of Informativo, I understood the question to be a kind of a process question, which is how do you get buy-in for national programs? And I would say that having a process which comes from the bottom up rather than the top down is really fundamental in being able to do that. Bringing in Dave's question about digital distribution, Informativo is something that we're going to provide on our website as part of offerings that we do. We're right now in the process, actually in the month of August, of launching web-exclusive programming. That is currently our website offers program, it's sort of like a mirror side of what's on the air. And I must say, I'm really proud of what KPFA has done before I came to this position while I've been here in really seizing opportunities with the web. So we were one of the first stations to do podcasting before NPR stations in our area. We have this vast audio archive. We have, you know, over, I think it's 19,000 audio files on our website. We've been experimenting with all sorts of different creative approaches to that. But one thing that we haven't done until now is having programming that is different than our terrestrial programming. And that's a big thing, and it's also a capacity issue because as a program director, you're already spread pretty thin in trying to coordinate all the programming terrestrially. But we're launching a series. It's just the first step. This is not the end of the line with this. It's just a new initiative to kind of see how things go. But it's called The War Comes Home, and we'll be airing a series of first-person accounts by Iraq veterans who have returned to the U.S., talking about their experiences. It's going to be packaged in a way that can be sent out and embedded in blogs in essentially because people listen to audio on the web differently than they do terrestrially. It will be in, excuse the term, but kind of bite-sized pieces that can be sent around, embedded in blogs. We're going to have an ongoing blog by Erin Glantz, who's a reporter, who's actually not, he's someone who's contributed to FSR, and he's not on staff, but he works at KPFA. And he reported from Iraq and has been following the story really closely. So he's going to be working on an ongoing blog where he puts up information about things related to the Iraq War. So it will have a text and audio component. And it's, invite you all to check it out. If it's successful, a couple months later, maybe the next month, we're going to do a next installment of it. So we'll be looking at different dimensions of the Iraq War through this, the prism or through the medium of the web. We'll look at immigrant veterans, which I think is a really interesting dimension, Iraqi civilians, if we can manage to do that, the impact of vital social services by spending on the war. So, I mean, obviously, the issues are endless over this, so it will be something that we'll have in series and we'll advertise it on the air terrestrially and send people over to it.
Will it be mirrored on Pacifica.org, and have you talked to the other PDs about promoting to their audiences the existence of this project?
That's a great idea. I haven't had a chance to tell people about it.
As soon as you guys start doing things like that for each other, a whole series of questions about this local versus national thing is going to jump up that needs to be dealt with.
Right.
Chandra? I'd like to ask Sasha a question. Something that there's a new approach to fundraising at KPFA, and I understand that you're trying to do new things because, you know, you think that sometimes other approaches get stale, but I am personally concerned about one aspect of this, and that's the aspect of playing only a segment of a premium during a fund drive.
Could we deal with this in the station reports part? Because it's really station-specific thing. So tomorrow afternoon, we'll be doing station-specific queries here if we talk about that local-national interface.
Okay.
Keep it focused. Thanks, Sasha. Robert, did you want to give us the news from New York?
Robert Scott Adams, IGM from WBAI. Give me the question. The first of questions.
The first question had to do with how much live performance.
We average about twice a month.
Okay. And the question about what you feel the board could do as relates to this issue of developing national collaborations.
Help us raise some money.
Okay. And then my questions were about your thoughts about the use of WBAI to promote the identity of Pacifica.
Well, actually, we're having a hard time promoting our own identity. So in the coming months, it's reality. In the coming months, we are going to, put forth a better effort of promoting ourselves, and consequently, we'll do the same for you.
Okay, and for one thing, whether you see the promotion of Pacifica as a positive for the promotion of the identity.
Oh, of course. Yeah. In fact, we need to be more aligned with Pacifica in terms of, you know, letting people know that. Because a lot of times people think that here's Pacifica, here's WBAI, and Pacifica is taking something from WBAI or it's against WBAI.
Imagine
it's,
that.
It's absolutely impossible. We wouldn't exist without that.
And then the last question had to do with Informativo.
Monday through Thursdays, 11:30.
Thank you very much. All right. Well, you know, we've been at this a little while. We said after this section, and we're just about on time for the public comment. Do folks in the audience want to raise their points now, or do you want to take a 10-minute break now and then raise your points when we come back? Okay, I'm just seeing so few hands that I think we'll just do that now. So let's go Eileen, Sherna, Israel, and then we'll take a 5 to 10-minute break.
Okay.
Eileen, you've changed.
Sherna Gluck, KPFK. I'm paid programmer. I'm the chair of the Programming Oversight Committee and on the National Program Committee. I want to raise an issue about the process here. I would like to ask, and please don't take my time for doing this, each of the PDs, if you have, you know, we're talking about, oh, well, we shouldn't have a top-down process. That's how we're going to get buy-in. It should be bottom-up. Well, I have heard no evidence that this process, where the PDs got together and discussed this, has been a bottom-up process. I would like to know from each of the PDs what kinds of conversations you had with your programmers, both paid and unpaid. And I want to really address something that, a little bit more of what Margaret said. Also in terms of the National Programming Committee, I don't know how many of you were on the PNB at the time? Not very many. But out of KPFK, when Dan Coughlin tried to create a position for National Program Director, we passed a resolution saying coordinator, because the idea was not to create another national production unit, but to really coordinate, to do the kinds of things that Lydia raised, for instance. Nathan's been doing a terrific job going around to the stations, and I think this will, meeting with unpaid and paid programmers, I think this can help promote some of that coordination and the idea of co-broadcast. For instance, I'm a member of a collective, South and West Asia, North Africa Collective, that does Radio Intifada once a week. Our sister collective up north has a very similar program, and our politics are very similar. We could probably join up with some other Pacifica stations that focused on the area and do a national program jointly. I think that could be a good model that Nathan has started to address. What I do want to follow up on something Margaret said is, we've talked a lot about trying to upload to AudioPort. I think, frankly, we need to have an evaluation process of programs to do that. Our own weekly program, I don't know that I could say that every single week is of such a quality that it should go up. So I think we do need a process and training by the PDs of programmers in terms of how to do self-evaluation. But I want to follow up with something Margaret said and Mary, and I do thank you. And I can't remember who else said it about the resources for unpaid programmers. We did a survey. We have an unpaid staff network. It's not huge. It's like 40 people are on our list now out of, I don't know, 160 unpaid programmers. But we asked them, what are the kinds of things that you need? We got back quite a few responses. Some of them were recurring kinds of things, resources, childcare, transportation,
sure,
recorders. Okay, I'm about done. And coming out of this, we went to the staff meeting, paid staff meeting, had a budget request, and I think Eva will report on this more specifically during the station report. We now have a line item in the KPFK budget under programming that is specifically for unpaid programmers to support various things. And I really think each station needs to be doing it. And if you know, you don't have the kind of strength of the unpaid programmers, then I would urge each of you to be taking that responsibility and trying to create that in your budgets. Thank you.
Thanks.
And everything I said today, I'll do during other periods.
Eileen?
Hi, my name's Eileen Goodman from the Los Angeles area. And I love the discussion. In fact, it's great, and I'm going to write about it because I've been working on that, and I'm a beginner in that. So, is this better?
Much.
Mm-hmm. It is
better. My name's Eileen Goodman. I'm from the Los Angeles area, and thank you for the discussion. My question is, when does the programming end? You've got great ideas, but you've only got so much space. And what you've got are a lot of programmers who've been on the air for years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. When does their programming end? I think what you need to do for your new visions is you've got to understand that there needs to be a beginning and a middle and an end to anyone's involvement in this organization. We can thank people for sometimes their one-sided points of view. Okay, we can do that. That's fine. But why does it have to be for 30 years? And I've got a lot more to say, but that's really the one point I wanted to make.
That's a bad act to follow since I've been here since before the station went on the air at KPFK. But not as a paid employee.
Israel, you want to identify?
My name's Israel.
Do you want to introduce yourself?
My name's Israel Floyer. I'm on the local station board, and I've been a long-time listener and participant. I've said since before it went on the air. I recently had the unusual experience of being called by Arbitron and asked to be one of their participants. And the question they asked is, are you an employee of a radio or TV station? I said, no. They sent me the material, and I said, wait a minute. Shouldn't I, in all fairness, you know what I did? So I called them up, said, I'm on a local board. We should have asked that. No, you really shouldn't take part in this. So I'm sorry I didn't help increase KPFK's listenership. But that's the truth. Anyhow, I think that the whole nature of this discussion should focus primarily on whom are we trying to reach, the audience, what is the kind of effect we want to have, the outcome, and then what kind of content or format, which is to say the programming, fits in. These are the three things I would start with rather than just play around with programs. Now, I'm not against the ideas. I heard they sound pretty good to me, but that the larger context is important. And in that connection, we also need to have, as I mentioned before, some kind of ongoing evaluation of our programming consistently with all the stations and incorporating not just surveys, but compilations of listener comments and so on, including at these meetings. So it isn't just saying listener comment. Well, what listeners commented? What did they say? What was the response? In short, we need to focus on our audience, not just getting more money. I heard that. I'm not putting anyone down for that. That's relevant, of course. But audience and what effect we want to have and how we want to go about it. That kind of context is what's very important. And I think that Sarv's comment, for example, that there is no inherent contradiction between national and local. The question is how you work it out in terms of this larger context. That's the approach that I would urge you to look into. And I hope, again, that we go down to the grassroots and up from the grassroots and not just one way.
Thank you, Israel. Yes, sir. Well, we're actually going to have a public comment section later tonight. What this is about is if you want to talk about the national local programming issue. For other comments, that'll be later on.
My name is Figgy Bornu. I'm chairman of a grassroots boutique mom-pop internet community organization called Positive African Image Institute, and it's here in Los Angeles. And I couldn't miss this opportunity to speak to everybody on this board. You talk about news events. One of the biggest news events that locally has been ignored is the fact that in the last 20 years, over 75% of the African-American population in L.A. has left. That is a huge migration. Nobody wants to cover it. Nobody wants to deal with it. And it is racist. And, you know, I guess I put organizations like this on too high of a pedestal because I've disappointed myself. But it's not doing enough. I'll just be brief. One example, I used to direct a youth program in Detroit. We tried to put together three rival gangs. We went in there with the mission that this program does not need to be around in 5 to 10 years. We want to deal with the problem so it won't be here anymore. I'm disappointed that this foundation seems to kind of let itself linger on and on and on just to keep it going. You guys need to get in there, tackle the stuff so you don't have to be around here anymore. One more point, this bilingual stuff, English, Spanish, two of the most racist languages on the planet. If you're going to deal with programming that deals with languages, you need to be multilingual. It's all kind of languages on this planet. You know what I'm saying? Don't be forcing any Spanish on any communities. It's just as racist as the English language. Deal with that. You know what I'm saying? Again, I hope these local people here will deal with the biggest news issue in L.A., and it's the displacement of the African-American community. The last 20 years, I deal with it in the documentary film I did, L.A. Air, which stands for Los Angeles Adventures in Racism. I tried to get them involved. You know, one thing, I'm a grown man. I've been through some things. When you start to complain a lot, you develop enemies, even with this organization. A lot of times they don't want you coming in complaining. You get on their bad list. Instead of taking your complaints and criticisms and concerns and say, well, let's see how we can work with this. You know, everybody doesn't know everything. So I've had some bad relations with KPFK. They were for years using the N-word, you know, like they were in their backyard at a barbecue. I fought them for years on that. Finally, you know, they woke up after Sharpton got involved. So that's my comment, and I'm glad to speak to this board. But if you're going to do it, do it.
Can you mention your website, please, the name of your website?
You can reach me, MySpace. .com/FiggyBornu, FIGEBORNU. And I understand you guys have an opening in Oakland for a general manager. I hope you get somebody. Ideally, the most depressed demographic group on this planet in America is an African-American gay male. So said Huey P. Newton also. So that's my comment. Anybody want a copy of this documentary, you can see me. $20.
Thank you very much.
Can we ask any questions, Dave?
We can after we've heard from the rest of the folks. Jane.
I know you're talking about programming, and that's what I want to talk about. And to let you know that the reason I'm wearing orange is that Orange Fridays have been declared Orange Fridays to draw attention to torture. The reason my voice is upset is I think if I asked if Rodney King was in the room and if all the African Americans didn't stand up, I'd wonder what was wrong. Well, I just was asked if I was Francie Mueller. Is there anybody at this table who thinks I am? Thank you. Please, let's deal with some national programming on perception.
Okay, is there anybody else who wanted to comment? If not, then I'd like to suggest a 10-minute break, and maybe we can mix together and talk a little more and then come back and spend our last 15 to 20 minutes wrapping up any ideas we might have out of that. So actually, let's see, the time now is 4:27. Can we sit back down in about 4:40, and we'll finish up the last 20 minutes?